720 WGN, and that jingle means that it's time for us once again to welcome Bill Snyder from WGN Channel 9. You certainly have picked a very nice day to show up, Bill.
Hey, you know, John, I know what I'm doing, don't I? I picked the days, that's so. For sure. Wow. It's nice to be with you on this absolutely spectacular summer day, and certainly spectacular kickoff to Lollapalooza. I mean, and I think given the weather we've had in recent days, I think we've earned it, don't you?
Oh, without any question.
Yes.
I mean, it's like somebody had a spigot and they turn it on.
Right.
And it would go crazy for a couple of hours and then
they'd
turn it off and everything stops. And that's the way it went for a while. It was, it was unusual, at least as far as I was concerned.
Yes. There's no question about that. You know, we were marveling. Remember, I think we were talking literally just last week, John, about how dry it's been and how we've gone, you know, 3 weeks without measurable rain. And it's been over two and a half decades since we've gone that long without measurable rainfall in Chicago. And then here we go. Monday rolls around, and our Frank Wachowski, who is phenomenal, he just does such a good job of cataloging all these weather events, certainly in his neighborhood out near Midway Airport. And, you know, we get this deluge. We get damaging storms and a deluge. And Frank reported that he picked up 2.67 inches of rain in 1 hour.
In one hour.
That's nearly 3 inches of rain in 1 hour. So it's no wonder why we were dealing with flooding issues in addition to a myriad of other storm damage across the area. But 267 in 1 hour, 331 for the day. And here's the interesting thing, John. You know, it's funny because we're going to come back and look at this month, 10 years from now, and say, boy, it was a wet July. You're looking at the numbers. And I mean, Frank is now at 7 inches for July, okay? And we normally see about 350, 360 is what we typically see for the whole month. So, you know, common perception is, oh, it's been a wet month. Well, the fact is that more than 6 inches of that 7 inches that's down at Midway so far fell in just 2 days.
Amazing.
Yeah. So we were marveling at how dry it's been. And you know, the fact is this time of the year, you need the rainfall more evenly distributed. You know, I mean, we need to keep up with evaporation rates, we need about an inch to an inch and a half of rain per week. That will certainly satisfy our lawns and our gardens and our flower beds and so forth. But the fact is we went about 3 weeks without anything. And here we are. We got, you know, nearly 3 inches or over 3 inches in a day. And what's interesting is that this is a top 10 wettest July on record at Midway. And, you know, we'll talk about this, of course, as we get through the show here, John, but we've got more on the way tomorrow. So it's to be determined just how far up the ranks that Midway could potentially go with July rainfall. And yet it's only fallen on a handful of days. So it's just Mother Nature is certainly finicky in how she distributes her precipitation and among other things, isn't she?
Absolutely. And another thing occurred to me that over the past few weeks we've been, or you've been, giving us a tornado count.
Yes.
And
the
count was so far above normal.
Right. Oh,
it was jaw dropping. Where is it now?
It truly is jaw dropping, John. You know, so that storm outbreak, you know, first of all, I just want to, you know, recap that what we had on Monday. You know, we had heat and oppressive levels of humidity that were across the region on Monday, and that resulted in extreme instability. We also had unusually strong jet stream winds aloft. We call that wind shear, John, and that's regards to winds changing direction with height. So basically, you look up aloft, the jet stream level, you have winds coming in from one direction, which they were blowing in from the west northwest, and then here at the surface, we had winds blowing in from the south. So when you have winds that collide from one, you know, coming one direction and from another direction, the air piles up, and so you get these, you know, gargantuan thunderstorms to develop when you get such a setup. And of course, again, we had the extreme, the heat and oppressive humidity to help fuel this extreme instability to produce these storms. And when you get that type of setup, that's ample ingredients, John, in the atmosphere to produce either damaging straight line winds, which we certainly had, and of course, potentially spinning up tornadoes. So the fact is we've added 7 tornadoes locally to the books from that outbreak on Monday. We've had 7 tornadoes. The National Weather Service confirmed 2 additional ones today. So we've had 1 in Glen Ellen, an EF0, 1 in Wheaton, an EF0, Downers Grove, EF0, Romeoville, EF0, Orland Park EF0, and then we had an EF1, which was essentially, or two EF1s. One was from Country Club Hills to Glenwood. This, of course, also impacted neighborhoods such as Hazelcrest, towns, I should say, not neighborhoods, but towns such as Hazelcrest, Markham, Harvey, Homewood, and then, of course, there was another one from Linwood to Munster, Indiana. So that impacted also portions of Lansing, which is in southeast Cook County. So, yeah, these were some very destructive storms. And the fact is, John, tallied it up, we are now statewide in Illinois, 191 tornadoes. A typical year in Illinois sees about 54.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Maybe we should put it on the license plates.
Yeah. You know,
new slogan for the state.
The tornado capital, right?
Yeah. The world.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. So that is more than 3.5 times what we typically get. And the fact is, we're not done. I mean, I wish I could say we were done, but I mean, we still have August and we have September. We almost always have, you know, it varies, of course, across the state how different weather situations set up, but we have what we call a secondary severe weather season that develops in the fall because you've got this collision of air masses. You got still what's the residual warmth of what was left of summer and, of course, early fall. And then you've got these colder air masses that start trickling in from Canada. And, you know, when those two air masses collide, you get some potentially can get some destructive thunderstorms in the process. So we had 7 tornadoes out of that outbreak. And of course, numerous locations that were dealing with, they're still dealing with damage. Of course, trees knocked down, roofs torn off because we had straight line winds of 80 to 90 miles per hour. So when I was saying we had an unusually strong jet stream winds aloft, that is what happens when you get that type of atmospheric setup in place, because you can mix some of that wind energy down to the surface, and that's what we did on Monday. So man, that was a rough afternoon and evening for parts of the area, John, and many areas that were just getting power back today. They were without power since then. So thankfully, we didn't have the oppressive heat and humidity in the wake of those storms. So people that didn't have power weren't sweltering in that kind of heat and humidity without, you know, the use of air conditioning.
There's one more thing about this that I wanted to ask you. I'm here. I'm on the phone with Ashley and, you know, Jack.
Right. Yep.
And the thunder.
Oh, yeah.
The level of the thunder. I mean, obviously I've heard thunder before. Come on.
Yeah.
But this was like, this was on a level that I'd never heard before.
Yep.
And they could hear it through the phone.
Intense. It was. The thunder was intense. The lightning was intense. And I mean, again, this is just a byproduct of an extremely warm, humid, buoyant air mass that we had in place. I mean, when you think about it, the atmosphere has had all spring and summer to heat up, John. And here we are sitting here in late July, in a late July atmosphere. And, you know, we had what equates to kind of a late spring setup in terms of jet stream winds aloft. So, you get that type of situation to collide. Yeah, you're going to get, not only you're going to get the strong storms, you're going to get the winds and, of course, isolated tornadoes, flooding rainfall. And then, of course, you get these vivid lightning strikes, you know, positive lightning charges and the really extremely loud thunder like you were hearing on Monday. So this is all a component of, you know, the heat and humidity that were in place.
Speaking of heat.
Yeah.
How's that 90 degree count going, or did you get to that?
Yeah, you know what? No, I didn't actually. And interestingly, so the storms prevented us from getting another 90 on Monday, John. We were forecasting low 90s, but the fact is we had clouds and precipitation moved in before that happened, and probably thank goodness it did, because if we would have gotten into the 90s ahead of this storms that hit, I fear we may have been dealing with even far worse than what we already, you know, are dealing with right now. But the fact is that we're running behind a year ago. So we've only had 12 90 degree days officially on the books through now. And by this time last year, we had 22. So, you know, in terms of the truly hot days, it hasn't been as bad this summer as it was a year ago, interestingly. And temperatures are also tell the story too. I was looking at Midway Airport, which of course well represents Chicago a little bit better, and they have consistent data at that location for nearly 100 years. And the average temperature for July is about 77.5 degrees at Midway, which is still nearly a degree above normal. But when you compare that to July a year ago, it's about 2 degrees cooler. So any way you slice it, we've actually been running a bit cooler than we were a year ago. So that's, you know, if you don't like the extreme heat, then you're probably happy with those numbers.
So we got a new month coming, August.
Yeah, do you believe, John, where is summer going? I mean,
I don't know.
I mean, the fact is that tomorrow night at midnight, we're going to be 2/3 of the way completed with meteorological summer. We enter our final month. And interestingly, you know, I wish I could. I mean, again, there's certainly plenty of warm days ahead. I don't want to, you know, let anybody in on the fact that we're going to turn chilly all of a sudden. But we are definitely downtrending. There's no question about it. We're losing daylight. I was looking, and we lose in August, and this is kind of a depressing state of affairs here, but we lose an hour and 15 minutes of daylight from the first of the month to the 31st. 75 minutes. And normal temperatures start to drop too. They're subtle. They're very subtle, and you don't really notice them that much. But the normal high and low on August 1st is 84.67. By the time we get to the 31st, that drops to 80.63. And you know, August is one of our wetter months, John, and that's partially in due to we had a historic flood that occurred in this area. Anybody that's lived around here will certainly remember it. And it was back in 1987, so nearly 40 years ago, we had 10 inches of rain that fell over about a 9 or 10 hour period from the night of the 13th of August to the 14th. And so that month produced more than 17 inches of rain. It's still our wettest month historically on the books here, 1987, 17 inches. So yeah, it can be wet because you typically get strong, slower jet stream winds. If the jet stream migrates near, you know, north of the border near Canada, when you get these storms to develop, they tend to be slower movers. And that's how you get your heavy rainfall, of course, when you get tropical moisture that's in place. So that's an interesting development. We'll see how that works out. But I don't see anything like that right now, which is good. But just the fact that the atmosphere is capable of that type of rainfall is certainly, something to keep an eye on. And we've been as hot as 102 degrees on August 5th, 1918, and as cool as 42 degrees on August 28th, 1986. So, you know, the fact is as we move through the month and we start losing daylight, and the process is even greater, John, north of the border in Canada, you start to get access to these cooler air masses that come in here. So when we start to see those, then, of course, our temperatures certainly take a little bit of a fall in that process when we start bringing in air that comes from the north.
Well, you know, we've got a weekend, we're on the cusp of a weekend, and we have Lollapalooza, and who knows what else people have planned. What's up?
Well, interestingly, John, you know, we've been talking about this all week on WGN and, of course, on our streaming show, The Forecasters. And, you know, Lollo is a 4-day event. It started today, it runs through Sunday. The two best days are today and Sunday. Unfortunately, we've got a slow moving weather system that's moving in tomorrow. No, tomorrow will start out just fine. You'll wake up and not think anything of it. We'll wake up with a mix of sun and clouds. It'll be a fairly nice day. Not quite as warm as today. We had a high of 87 today. So tomorrow will be more like 80 because the clouds will be increasing and thickening by lunchtime. And then we'll see the first wave of showers start to move in here probably mid afternoon. So, we're not expecting severe weather with this. So that's a good thing. Nothing like what we saw on Monday. So that's, certainly a blessing, but the fact is that a slow moving weather system means a longer duration rain event, and of course the intensity of rain will ebb and flow, so it's not going to pour the entire time. But the fact is the first sign of these showers will arrive about mid afternoon, continue on and off throughout the evening, and it looks like the heaviest rainfall, John, will fall from later tomorrow night into the early morning hours of Saturday. So hopefully, I know Smashing Pumpkins are playing tomorrow night out at Lala, I think at 8:30. So hopefully we can get their sets in, but we'll see how that plays out. And then as we move through the day on Saturday, it'll be a cooler day. As that low pressure starts to move to the east of us, that will tug in some cooler air off the lake. We'll have an east to northeast wind that'll freshen throughout the afternoon at 10 to 20 miles per hour. So instead of a high of 80, we'll have a high more like the low 70s. So a little cool by August standards. We kick off the new month where we should be in the mid 80s. We'll be in the low 70s. And then on Sunday, improving conditions will be kind of cloudy to start. but I think that we'll see some sunshine mix in through the afternoon. We'll be high in the mid 70s, and then kind of a seasonable week. We'll see upper 70s on Monday and Tuesday, and then by the time we get towards the middle of next week, it'll be back to where we should be this time of the year. We should be in the mid 80s under, you know, a mix of sun and clouds. So if we can get through this weather system that's going to be moving through here tomorrow into Saturday, I think that by the time we get towards later in the day on Saturday and Saturday night, the rains will be just diminished to some sprinkles. So I know the Cubs are playing the Yankees this weekend, and at this point, I think they'll be able to get the game in Saturday night, and certainly there will be no issues with getting the game in on Sunday. So outdoor activities, you just got to time it right, John, but we'll be definitely dodging some rainfall from, you know, middle of the afternoon tomorrow through probably the first half of the day on Saturday.
Well, thank you once again, Bill Snyder. A very thorough and well-informed forecast that we can all take some knowledge from. Have a great week.
You too. And I look forward to talking next week.
And, you know, the next time I need a Lollapalooza schedule,
yeah,
I'll give you a call.
Hey, you got it. Of course, John. That's what, you know, we provide forecasts for all different facets, you know?
Of course, of course. Talk to you next week.
You bet, John. Take care. Have a great weekend, and all our listeners, too. Take care.
Yeah, you too. Bill Snyder, always great from WGN-TV.